Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to The Whole Scoop. We are a health and wellness radio show, and I'm your host, Carol Ferrazzi, a registered licensed dietitian who's practiced over 30 years. Also the founder of Naturally Nutrition. You will find me at naturallynutritioninc.com. As a healthcare practitioner, it's important for me to provide you highly qualified guests on a variety of topics in order to promote your own health and wellness. Tonight's show is nutritional supplements. Are you getting the right bang for your buck? And as always, I'm going to remind you that while our guests are always highly credentialed on the topics of discussion, it's recommended that you seek medical advice prior to implementing any and all interventions discussed on the program. The call-in number is 347-855-8894. You can also direct questions and comments to www.blogtalkradio.com/thewholescoop. And remember to follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Blog Talk Radio. I think we're also on Twitter now. And we're starting a new page on Facebook called The Whole Scoop Group. So please join that. It's open to everybody. Share it. Join it. Talk on it. It's open all the time. We're waiting to hear from you on that. And then I'll jump on. We'll all talk. It'll be great. Again, the number is 347-855-8894, and we'll be taking questions later on in the show where I'll be calling out the last four digits of your telephone number. If you're calling in with a question, remember to press the number 1 to become part of the queue for questions. So with all that being said, let me tell you who's on the show tonight. We have Ryan Whitcomb. He's a registered dietitian who uses an integrative and functional medicine approach towards optimizing health. He is the owner of Gut Reaction Nutrition, a virtual private practice where he specializes in treating individuals with food sensitivities related to chronic inflammation. Ryan received his undergraduate training in communications from Ithaca College before becoming a dietitian. He did his didactic program in dietetics at Queens College in Flushing and completed his internship at Baylor University Medical Center in Dallas, Texas. He's currently working on his master's in human nutrition and functional medicine at the University of Western States in Portland, Oregon. Ryan is a member of the Academy of Nutrition and Dietetics, as well as the state and local chapters. He's on the executive committee serving as the volunteer chair of the Dietitians in Integrative and Functional Medicine, a dietetic practice group for the Academy of Nutrition and Dietetics. Originally from Long Island, Ryan recently made the move to Jersey City, New Jersey, something he swore he'd never do. You'll find Ryan at www.gutreaction, and that's GUTRXN.com. So with that, let's bring him on and say hello to Ryan. Ryan, are you with us?
Yes. Hi, Carol. Thank you so much for having me.
It's so great to have you here. Thank you so much for joining us. We're going to have a great show tonight. I mean, do you think I could have picked a more comprehensive topic than nutritional supplements? Like, really? Nutritional supplements, just to give a little background for everybody. I mean, everybody who listens to this show knows that I always start out with some statistics. But really, the statistics were so overwhelming for this show. It was amazing. So I'm just gonna do a couple of things, and then we're going to get started because we got so much to talk about. But this particular industry for nutritional supplements, the estimates range from 37 to 104 billion with a B as in boy dollars for the industry. 37 to 104 billion dollar industry. So, with that being said, we know there's that much money attached. Ryan, do you think supplements are important?
Oh gosh, yes, of course, absolutely. I really do think that supplements are an important part of everyone's daily routine, and I think many people could benefit from taking supplements if they know what they're deficient in. I know when I was in school, I was taught as a, you know, aspiring dietitian that supplements were not necessary, and that most people who ate a healthy diet and exercised and did stress reduction techniques wouldn't really benefit from a supplement. And I believed that for a long time. I'm sure you were told the same thing, correct?
Oh, absolutely. In fact, it was a little more than that. We just actually were told that supplements, if you use supplements or anybody who uses supplements, are just quacks, and you should stay away from them. And anybody who did use down on them. So that was pretty much it. it was a done deal.
Okay, so the mentality changed somewhat in a couple of years.
Yeah.
But
I mean, I'm a lot older than you. I guess that's where we're going with that. But anyway, it's pretty much the same. There's a split group out there of professionals. It's like 50-50. 50% say, do it. It's necessary. And 50% say, oh, no, not at all. So what I want to do tonight is I want to talk about why we think they're important or what has prompted people to think that they're important. And then we're just going to spend a couple of minutes on that because I want to really kind of hone in on what people should be looking for and are they – how much – there's a lot of money being spent out there and there's a lot of confusion attached with that money. And one of the reasons – and I'm just going to put this out there – one of the reasons that I started this show over a year ago now is because of all the questions that I would get. My neighbor down the street takes this particular supplement and says that it's good for me to do this. Should I or should I not? And one of the biggest reasons I started this show, and remember, I start this show telling you how credentialed my guests are. The reason for that is because the information that you obtain it has to be from a credible source. So with this show, I always make sure that the sources, meaning the guests, are highly credentialed to discuss the topic at hand so that you, the listener, is able to obtain information to make the best decision for you. Now, I say that on every show, but this show in particular, you need to really pay attention to that. And with that, I'm going to say, Ryan, there are so many supplements. There are so many things to think about. What would you consider to be, if you were to just talk about a supplement or not necessarily one particular supplement, but a concept of supplementation, what would be the major concept as to why people should take supplements? Is it because our food chain has changed a little bit? Is it because our environment has changed? I mean, which one? Let's talk about that for just a minute and give kind of an overview as to what's happened to cause some of this, and then we'll give some other examples.
Wow, that's a really good question. To only pick one reason? That's tough.
Well, we only have an hour, so I want to get questions in. I want to be able to get points across. We're going to do this kind of, condensed.
Absolutely. So I think the first thing is that our supply chain has changed. Now, I have some statistics here if you would like me to go over them real briefly. But basically,
sure.
Between the years 1940 and the year 2000, the average content of certain micronutrients in our foods has declined. And so the USDA has estimated somewhere between 21 and 35% less magnesium in our plant foods, 16 to 29% less calcium today than there was back in 1940, 6 to 14% less potassium, 15 to 32% less iron, 81% less copper, 38% less riboflavin, and 15% less vitamin C in all of our plant foods. So I think from just those numbers alone, it's very obvious for most people to understand that, yes, food still has nutritional value. It just has less value today than it did 50, 60 plus years ago. I think that is the biggest reason.
I'm sorry, you go ahead. Go ahead.
Oh, no, I was just going to say, I think that's one of the biggest reasons why supplementation is needed, because although our food will provide us with nutrients, it won't provide us with the amount that we're thinking it will provide.
Right. And what I was just going to say is, we used to live by an apple a day would keep the doctor away. What Ryan is talking about is those particular statistics. There was one study, I think, that came out, and I'm going to guess and say it was somewhere like around 1992, and it took the nutritional content of an apple from 1976 and compared the apple to 1992 or whatever year this actually was. And the nutritive value of that same apple from the same area of the United States had changed so much, to the extent that Ryan just gave you some of those figures, that they realized that, hey, we need to start paying attention because our foods have changed. And so that, for me, prompted a different way of thinking. When I started to read up on all of that, it prompted a different way of thinking. It was no longer supplements are bad, shame on you for thinking about it. It was, okay, so what does that mean for the people with whom I'm dealing, and how is it? So for me, and I want to make this point too, it's different for every person. So would you agree that there's not a cookie cutter approach, everybody should be taking this, or everybody should be taking a handful of these, or go to your local store and everybody run out and buy all of these right now? Would you agree with that?
Absolutely, I would agree with that. As a dietitian, my role is to help people identify where they're deficient and then help them replete those deficiencies either through foods and or supplements. I would never say run out and go buy this multivitamin, run out and buy vitamin D, run out and buy CoQ10. Because I think that would be unethical of me to do so. Without knowing what your levels are or what's going on in your body or what medical condition you have, how can I know what you should take?
Well, and that is exactly the point, and I was hoping that you were going to say something like that, because that's exactly the point that I want to make with everybody tonight, in that you know, there's so much talk about all of those things that Ryan just mentioned, and it's like, well, should you or should you not? How do you find out? Ryan, how do they find out? What is the first step that somebody should do or should take to find out what they need to be taking for themselves? In other words, not necessarily what test or whatever, but I'm sitting at home tonight and I'm listening to this program, and I've been wondering for quite some time about what it is that I should be doing, or maybe I should be doing this, or maybe I should do that. What do I do? Who do I call? What do I do?
I think the first thing to do would be to go, if you have questions about nutritional supplements or what you should be taking, I would I would research dietitians that specialize in integrative and functional nutrition and medicine, because those are the dietitians and the healthcare.
For a minute. I'm going to stop
You
there for a minute. What does that mean, integrative and functional nutrition? What does that mean?
You're smart. Okay, so an integrative and functional dietitian is a dietitian that works with other practitioners, whether it's a doctor, nurses, other healthcare members, who look at the root cause of someone's disease. So rather than looking at the symptoms and treating the symptoms and providing symptom relief through medication, we're trying to dig deep to find out what is causing the person's issues. Is it a deficiency in one or more nutrients? Is it a food sensitivity? Is it an undiagnosed autoimmune disease that is driving their symptoms? What is causing their problems? And so we always go through a food-first approach, and we also always try and go beyond what the conventional medicine would simply look at. So an evaluation with a integrative and functional medicine practitioner might take 90 minutes, the first assessment, just so that we can get an understanding of who you are and how long you haven't felt well. When was the last time you felt truly well? Was it a week ago? Was it 6 months ago? Was it 2 years ago? What happened at that time when you suddenly no longer felt well? And we have to trace it all back. So we have to go back to the beginning, which could be years ago. The average practitioner isn't going to do that.
Well, okay, so integrative and functional nutrition is, from what I'm hearing you say, and what I'm my job is to translate some of this, okay? So I'm going to translate that to, remember what it used to be like years ago when the docs and the healthcare team used to go see people, and they used to say, well, let's find out what's going on with you. I don't know that they actually say that now. They say, oh, yeah, okay, it sounds like this, and take this pill. Or, you know, if you've got that much pain in you, probably should do a little surgery and then probably get that out and then take these pills. Or does that sound familiar, Ryan?
Every day I hear that. Every day I hear that
yeah.
from people. So,
yeah. And what we're talking about is kind of going back to the old school and saying, hey, let's find out about you. So, you know, let's just take Nancy as an example. You know, so Nancy, tell me what's going on with you, who you are, what's important to you, how you've been feeling, when did it change, what does that mean for you, did it slow down your activities, what have you not been able to do? Why do we ask those questions as dietitians in functional medicine? We ask those questions because every single piece of it makes up a part of you, and it gives us an idea as to what might be happening. Ryan, if I said to you, hey, you know what? I'm really slow today. I've been slower. I've been slowing up. My whole energy level is off, and I just feel like pretty much like crap. Does that necessarily mean it's a food issue? More than likely, is it possible? What would be the first thing that comes to your mind if I said something like that to you as it relates to nutrition, so that people can get an idea that some of those things that we don't normally equate to being nutritive bound actually are, in terms of deficiency
mm-hmm.
and or just physiologically being off?
Well, and to answer the question, the first thing I'm thinking of, are you getting enough sleep? How many hours a night of sleep are you getting? Do you exercise?
Why is that important?
We all know that exercise. Well, because people that don't sleep enough, who are chronically stressed and inflamed, they can't absorb nutrients. And people that are chronically inflamed tend to have magnesium depletion. When your magnesium is down, your cortisol levels go up. Cortisol, as we know, is a hormone that, well, I'm sure you'll do the translating for me, but we know high levels of cortisone. High levels of cortisone actually wreak havoc on the body, and they can prevent the body from absorbing certain nutrients. And so that's one of the reasons why I'll always... Yeah, cortisol levels, it can cause insulin resistance, hypertension, decreased protein synthesis. There's tons of things that can happen in a person that doesn't get enough sleep. So that's a question that I would ask.
Okay,
you know,
I just want to make the point that when somebody in functional nutrition asks you about your sleep patterns or asks you about whether or not something is ailing you, and you're sitting there scratching your head going, what does that have to do with nutrition? Ryan just explained it. And so if you have questions, you know, blog those questions in, call those questions in. Remember to press 1 if you have a question as it relates to that. I'm sure that with that little bit of information, some light bulbs went off and said, hey, maybe it's this. So I'm going to look forward to hearing some of those particular questions. That all being said, Ryan, are supplements safe, and how do I find the right one?
Good question. Supplements, by and large, are safe. Now, yes, there are those out there on the market that are unsafe, and people died from liver failure because of these supplements. But by and large, the vast, I guess, degree of supplements that are out there on the market at your local grocery store, local drugstore, online, are typically safe. Now, at the same time, they could be ineffective. It could just be filler that's in there, but it's harmless. So harmless and safe are, safe and effective are two different things. But by and large, yes, most supplements are safe. Now, there is a whole other breed of supplements that are sold by healthcare practitioners that are considered, you know, a step above what you'd find at the grocery store or what you'd find at the local, you know, drugstore down the road. And so those supplements go through a more rigorous pattern, a more rigorous Q&A system to make sure that they really are a pure, authentic supplement.
Well, all that being said, what does that mean? Okay, so here's the thing. If I go to my local grocery store and I pick out a vitamin C, and I go to someone like you and you give me vitamin C, am I going to get the same product?
It depends. It depends on the company that you're buying from, the manufacturer.
I think
you want to know.
I as a practitioner, though, do you obtain your supplements from the grocery store?
No.
That you give to
Negatory.
Your patients? Okay.
No,
so
I don't give any.
Same product. It's not the same. It's not necessarily the same product.
No. It's not like there was one manufacturer making one vitamin C for the whole country and then just packaging it up differently for different companies. There are so many different things out there. Oh.
No, you're right. Yeah, and that's right. So what would tip me off a little bit? What would be my biggest thing? Would it be cost? If I pay more with you, am I getting a better product? Is that's question number one. And question number two, am I getting the name of the show is, am I getting the right bang for, are you getting the right bang for your buck? So now we're talking about bang for the buck, and what does that mean? And so we're looking at things that come from you versus things that come from the grocery store, from a big box store, from a drug store, that people just run out and get. How are they different, and why is it important to know that there's a difference?
Okay, so they're different, one, in the types of ingredients that are used. The ingredients with the products that people can obtain through me are more absorbable. They tend to be the chelated form of a vitamin, which just means that it's more absorbable for the average person. And it also has fewer fillers or no fillers at all. If you go to the grocery store and you look at, let's say, I have here a Viactive label, okay? Many people take Viactive for their bones because it has vitamin D in it. And it has a little bit of vitamin K. If you look at the ingredients, the first ingredient is sugar. That's the very first ingredient in this product. And this is a very popular product. You also have corn syrup, hydrogenated coconut oil. You have soy lecithin, artificial flavor, and you have salt. What are all these things doing in a supplement? A supplement should just be the ingredients that you need and nothing that you don't need. I don't see why anyone would need to have sugar in their supplement. So,
well,
the things that people
funny that
can
you
get,
say that, Ryan, because statistically, you know, because I'm really big on statistics when it comes to this program.
I see
New
that.
York, the New York Attorney General's office conducted its own test recently, and I don't have a year for this, but of six popular herbal supplements, including garlic, echinacea, saw palmetto, okay? And according to the test, 20% of the products matched their labels, while nearly 80% contained none of the product on the label or were contaminated with other plant material. None of the unlabeled ingredients was dangerous, except potentially to those with food allergies. So that prompted like so much controversy and so much conversation as should I or shouldn't I, none of the supplements are any good, blah, 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 blah. So now I'm Joe Blow sitting at home, I'm listening to this show, and I'm going, I still don't know. And I still am not sure. Now, what you just said was real important because you said that why should you put a filler in a product? Great, you're right, why should you? It's funny. Just yesterday, somebody said to me, you know, I still take Geritol. And I'm like, seriously, they make that product? and they still make Geritol. Okay. And you know what? It never occurred to me because I didn't even think it was on the market anymore. And I looked at it, and the first ingredient is sugar. And there was really nothing in Geritol at all from a nutritional standpoint to cause it to do anything that I could see. Now, maybe, you know, I'm not going to say it doesn't do anything because I really don't know why all those ingredients were together, but it just appeared as though there were a bunch of ingredients that came together for whatever reason, and they said it did something. But I'm sure some people have gotten some really good results with that. I just don't know. So now I'm still sitting at home, and I'm still trying to figure it out. So if we break it down, if you go and see a healthcare practitioner that focuses on functional medicine, chances are they're going to give you a supplement that they think for which you're deficient, like Ryan just said. If they do that, their products are coming from what's called a nutraceutical company. So that might be a new word for some people, nutraceutical as opposed to pharmaceutical. So nutraceutical means these are These are big companies who do nothing but specialize in the purest form of a supplement. So that means that if you are getting a supplement from a healthcare practitioner, chances are you're not going to be able to buy that in your grocery store. So that's number one. Number two, when you do go to your grocery store or your big box store and you see certain things, just take a look at the ingredients. That's all you have to do. If you take a look at the ingredients and you see those added ingredients, A, if you can't pronounce them, probably not a good thing to put in your body. B, if it's you see sugar, if you see fructose corn syrup, if you see xylitol, if you see anything else other than what you're looking for, then it's probably something that you should think twice about. Brian, you mentioned absorbability before. Do you know statistically, again, with absorbability, the reason that some of you probably have seen a healthcare practitioner and they tell you to take supplements twice a day. The reason that they do that is because when you take a supplement, even in its purest form, you're going to absorb about 50% of that just by virtue of physiology from your own body. If that's the case, then it would stand to reason that if you take it twice a day, you get 100%. That's as simple as I can make it. Does that make sense? Is that are you agreeing with that, Ryan?
I totally agree. And in fact, I wanted to add something to that in regards to the absorbability factor. I have in front of me a label from a supplement company that you can get at Target. And this is one that I used to buy when I was going to school for nutrition, you know, many years ago. And I bought it because guess how much it was for a 3.5 month supply? $4.17. So as someone who was in school, that was a bargain to me. Wow, $4.17 for 3.5 months worth of vitamins. So I'm looking at the label right now. They have things like calcium carbonate in here, magnesium oxide, zinc oxide, cyanocobalamin. These are all forms of vitamins that are cheap. And because they're cheap, it also means they aren't absorbed very well into the body. That's why they're so cheap. If you go to a healthcare practitioner who sells from a nutraceutical company, you're getting stuff like calcium citrate or magnesium citrate or magnesium glycinate or methyl cyanocobalamin. You're getting things that are more absorbable for the body. The body doesn't have to convert anything over. It's already in the active form, and the body can use it as is. So people that use
okay, I got to stop you there for a minute. And the,
absolutely.
And the reason I'm going to is just to translate again, because you made
absolutely.
Some excellent points, and thank you for that. But so physiologically, what happens and what supplements are about, and I'm going to take methyl cobalamin as opposed to cyanocobalamin, and that is, folks, that's B12. That's what we're talking about. But there are different forms of B12. And when we talk about cyanocobalamin versus methylcobalamin, we're talking about the physiological substrate component of what happens chemically in the body to get that particular product, B12, and I'm going to call it product, it's actually a nutrient, to do its job in your bodies. So in order for everything, anytime you eat or drink anything, it has to get broken down, and that has to happen through a physiological process and a bunch of chemical processes, like thousands of chemical processes, just to get to that one little micronutrient, to get it to go where it needs to go, to get the appropriate form. So what Ryan is talking about is if you buy a certain type of nutrient from a healthcare practitioner, you're getting it in its simplest form so the body doesn't have to work as hard to make it go where it needs to go. Anything else, Ryan, with that?
Well, you know, I just wanted to add one thing since we're on the topic of B12. And I don't know if I'm getting ahead of myself, so if I am, please stop me. But there are certain people in this country and in the world that have a genetic mutation, and they can't absorb B12 very well, or folate, folic acid. And so these nutrients have to be in the active form for the person to absorb them. If they're in the inactive form, like in this vitamin right here, the person won't absorb it no matter how many vitamins they take a day. And I want to stress that point because people think they take one tablet down the hatch and they're good to go for the day. But that's not the case. If they're taking one that they can't absorb fully, it doesn't matter how many they take, they're going to be deficient.
Well, and I think the point is that that is exactly when you want to be talking to a healthcare practitioner, because you may be one of those people that can't absorb, and that might be one of the reasons that you're having a chronic issue. And if that's the case, then you want to be working with a practitioner who can identify that. So you're not necessarily jumping ahead, Ryan. I just want to kind of make the point is another reason why healthcare practitioners in this particular area are so important. Okay, the other point I want to make, and then I'm going to take a real quick break, is that there are multitudes and multitudes of supplements out there. And because of that, the average person and even the professional person have trouble just deciphering what's out there, why it's out there, and who's trying to do what with it. So you really want to rely on somebody who spends their life work doing things like this to get the most bang for your buck. Because if you're going to have to buy supplements, then guess what? You want to make sure that it's the right one for you, it's the right form for you, and it's going to give you the results that you need. So you might as well literally just bite the bullet, wait for the practitioner to tell you which one to take or which whatever to take that will get you what you particularly need. Now, does that mean that everybody that sees a functional medicine person will be on supplements? Well, I hope not. I hope that you find the right person who says, hey, I want you to go change your diet a little bit. I want you to try this. Let's see how you do. Let's get some blood work. Let's test you out first and let's see. And then we'll decide what to put you on. Ryan, would you agree with that?
Absolutely. 100%, Carol.
On that note, I'm going to take a quick break here, and I'm going to say you are listening to the Whole Scoop Radio. And you know what? For some reason, we have a new intro for the show, and it didn't go off tonight. So I'm going to see if it works right now, and then maybe get a little chuckle out of this. So let's see.
You're listening to the Whole Scoop Radio with your host, Carol Ferrazzi.
There you go. See that? Now, you're also listening to Ryan Whitcomb, and he is a dietitian who is in functional medicine, specializing in Ryan, what is it that you specialize in? Food sensitivities, chronic inflammation, all kinds of things. He's a great guy. You'll find him at www.gutreaction.com. And you'll find me at www.naturallynutritioninc.com. So, all that being said, we're back. And, Brian, tell me, anything that we've said so far you want to tweak or make a point from?
I think so far we've been pretty clear with why supplements, although we do stress a food-first approach, I do think we've made a pretty good argument as to why supplements are needed for many people. And I don't think there's anything that I would tweak at this point.
Anything that you wanted to bring up that we haven't brought up yet?
Well, I think there are other reasons why people should take supplements, or reasons why we do have such poor nutrient status in this country. I know briefly we touched upon the fact that our agricultural practices have depleted the nutrients in some of our foods, but I also did want to touch upon other reasons why someone would be nutrient depleted.
Okay. Go ahead.
Good to go?
Go.
Okay.
That's
I think the,
good.
All right, perfect. The first reason is because fresh food is great, but fresh food loses its nutrient status within 1 to 2 days of being picked. So unless you're eating foods that are falling from the actual tree at the moment it's falling off the tree, you're probably not getting as much nutrients as you think you're getting. For instance, the Trader Joe's by me, when you go to buy the apples there, guess where the apples come from, Carol? They come from New Zealand.
Wow.
New Zealand.
And
now,
you're
in
New Jersey,
I've been to New
your apples come from New Zealand. You know, that always amazed me when I moved to Florida. I was so looking forward to having that nice fresh Florida orange juice. Do you think I could find it when I got here?
Oh, God,
unless
no.
I actually picked it.
Yeah. Of course. Now, I've been to New Zealand. It's a 30-hour flight. So just by that
wow.
mere fact that it took me 30 hours to get there, if you pick the apple off the tree the second that it's, you know, harvested, you know, it's ripe and you pull it, something tells me they're not rushing off to the airport and flying this over to New Jersey to get into my local mm-hmm. Trader Joe's. You know, these things sit a little while before they're, you know, brought over to the U.S. So by the time it even gets on the shelf, it's already lost half of its nutrients. By the time you've bought it, it's lost another half. By the time you actually eat it, it's lost another half. So by the time you eat that apple, it's just water and fiber by the end if you're eating
well,
an apple from New Zealand.
Well, have you noticed lately that the apples that you get don't necessarily have much flavor? You think that might have something to do with it?
Yeah, the Red Delicious I've had lately, I'd say within the past couple of years, have been very mealy. I don't
mm-hmm.
like my mealy apples, so I don't eat Red Delicious anymore.
I agree.
But I have found that to be the case. Yeah, a lot of them are very bland.
You know, somebody said to me yesterday, actually 2 days ago, somebody said to me, you know what, have you let food sit out lately and watch it not get bad? And I was like, you know, I really haven't done that. It's not something I normally do. but ironically, I did have an orange, and I did let it. I had it sitting out, and I had just, you know, it's like one of those things where you just kind of see it, but you don't see it, and you're not
mm-hmm.
really thinking about it. And it sat there for a couple of days. And I, you know, by then it should have just gotten bad. It should have just, because it wasn't the freshest of oranges to begin with. Nothing happened to that orange. Nothing. I was like, really?
Nothing.
So, yeah. So it made me really curious when he said that to me the other day. I thought, I went right back to that orange in my head, going, wow, you know. So I challenge everybody to think about that. When food doesn't go bad, then there's an issue about that, because usually we used to say 3 days on food. We now say a week. And you know, how did that change and why did that change? And ask yourself why. Well, there's a lot of environmental factors that we haven't discussed yet tonight. And the environmental factors are that our soils changed and that – you know, we are living in the age of pesticides, whether we want to admit it or not. We are ingesting pesticides on a daily basis, whether we want to admit it or not or think about it. And, you know, it's playing havoc on our systems. It's playing havoc physiologically, but it's also taking its toll on the actual structure of the food that we eat. So,
mm-hmm.
You know, something to think about.
Well, I say this, Carol, if mold doesn't want to grow on old food, you should be nervous. If mold won't even grow on it, why should I eat it?
Well, you know, I think that's as simple as it gets. If it doesn't go bad, why would you eat it?
Yeah.
And so we did talk about food first, and that is the option. I mean, that is the option of a good, solid practitioner. Let's start with food and see how much bang we can get from the food. But all of that being said, if your food doesn't go bad and mold won't grow on it, your body hasn't changed. Our bodies haven't changed in terms of what they need. Our bodies actually have become more needy or needier because of all of these environmental changes and because of all the exposures that we now have that we didn't have before, because our foods have changed so much, as Ryan so nicely gave us all those statistics on. So as a result, it stands to reason that we might want to consider supplementation.
Absolutely.
So if that's the case, then what would be, you know, we hear a lot about vitamin D, we hear a lot about vitamin C, we hear about, you know, vitamin E, omega-3s. You know, there's not one that's right for the other. It's just a matter of what's right for you. So that being said, I'm going to take some blog questions right now. And remember, I'm going to ask people that if you have a question, if you're on the phone, press the number one so I can see that you're in the queue for questions. Don't forget to do that. And if you're pressing it and it's not coming through, keep pressing it or try to call back and call in again and do the number one thing. And if all else fails and I don't see any cues for questions, then I'm going to try to call on some numbers here anyway and see if we can get a couple questions in. I'm not seeing any ones, by the way. I got one person on the board now as a question, so I know there's more. But I'm going to take a blog question real quickly. And that will be, let's see, I've got a bunch of blog questions here. I have a lot of neck and back pain from a fall I had a few years ago, and I hate taking Aleve, Advil, or other anti-inflammatory drugs. Are there natural remedies that you know of that could help? Okay, that's something we haven't talked about tonight. So, Ryan, you want to give a stab at this?
Well, I want to address first the fact that this person's taking a lot of anti-inflammatories. Those are notorious for depleting nutrients from the body, vitamin D, calcium, vitamin B6, you know, a whole slew. So just the fact that she wants to look for something that's more natural, I commend her because the natural remedies won't affect her as much. If she's into essential oils, I know Panaway is one that's been touted as a big pain reliever. It's a natural analgesic, and it will prevent people from having the pains in their neck and other areas of their body.
Okay. I think that essential oils, I'm going to be doing a show. We have a show scheduled only on essential oils, so you might want to tune into that one. We have one of the PhDs of the country that's coming onto the show. She's gonna outline how essential oils are helpful and when to use them, when not to use them. So that's coming up. So Ryan, thank you for making that point. And I will tell this person too that it's there are natural remedies for inflammation and. Before I give out anything, I would need to know a little bit more. Just like Ryan, we kind of need to know a little bit more, and I am concerned about the internal inflammatory situation going on there, so there's probably a little more happening. So I want to thank you for blogging that question in, but maybe catch me on the board from Facebook, and we can talk a little bit more and get you some help.
Oh, Carol, okay. One thing I want to just throw out there before you go to the next question. With regards to these natural painkillers, like I'm assuming she's referring to herbal remedies like ginkgo and ginseng and St. John's wort. Those things can work for some people, but I hesitate to answer the question for her because she might be on a medication that would be contraindicated for that herbal remedy. So I don't want to make it worse for her.
Right. Okay. And that's absolutely true. So another reason to, join us in the forum and we'll see what we can do. It's a great place to test out that forum that we just did on Facebook and maybe get some of this stuff done a little more extensively for you. And we can maybe put you in touch with somebody in your area that can help you. So, please do that. Also, if you're pressing the number one, you're not coming up on the board. I still have one caller. I'm going to call on this caller in just a second here. So go ahead and blog your questions in and start your questions off on the blog with I'm just trying to press one, and then I'll know that it was a telephone issue. Okay? I'm sorry for the confusion tonight. Sometimes this has happened. We haven't had this in a while, but here we are. So I'm going to take a live call and I'm going to do caller 4977.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi. I have a question regarding whole-based food supplements. Are they better nutritionally than the regular supplement?
Oh, that's a good question, sir. If you're buying it in the grocery store or the drugstore, anywhere that you could just buy it, I would be a little bit cautious about it based on what we've spoken about previously, the type of nutrients that are in there, the form they're in, things of that nature. I'm sure they're not bad. I would just have to see a label in order to really answer the question to my best. Do you have one that you're thinking of?
No, nothing specific. I was just curious about the difference in the whole food-based supplements versus, say, like a Solgar nutritional product.
Well, those types of supplements, they tend to get the nutrients from the actual food. That's the whole marketing behind it. But without knowing what other fillers or other things they're putting in there, I can't really answer it. So if you have one that you can mention on the forum, I would be happy to look at it for you and let you know what I think.
Okay. That's fine. Can I do a quick follow-up?
Yeah, go ahead.
Regarding supplementation, are there better waters and bottled waters that would give you more in nutrients than, say, just city tap water?
To be honest, my understanding is that tap water tends to be the safest because it's the most tested, whereas when you have bottled water like Poland Spring or Evian or Dasani, those are exempt from being tested for contaminants. So from a contamination standpoint, I think your best bet is probably city water that's then filtered with a Brita or some other type of filtration system.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you for calling
in.
But there's one thing I want to kind of add. I just want to tweak a little bit, Ryan, if that's okay.
Absolutely.
The whole food-based supplements, there are, I mentioned before about the nutraceutical companies, there are nutraceutical companies that focus on whole food-based products. They do subject themselves to a whole bunch of research, and their methods for production are pure. So my suggestion would be to talk to a healthcare practitioner about which products they use or which companies they use that have whole food based products, and that will that should give you a little bit of a variety in terms of what you might be looking for. But again, join us on the forum and we'll try to answer you a little more specifically, okay?
Okay. Thank you very much, Carol and Ryan.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. Appreciate it. Okay, so we're not getting any more on the board. I'm getting some blog questions in. Friend has a thyroid problem. Doctor says not enough vitamin D. What's a good vitamin D supplement? Actually, vitamin D is coming through a lot tonight. And maybe we should take just a minute. We've got about 10 minutes left. Maybe we should take just a minute to talk about vitamin D.
Okay.
Do you want to talk a little bit about vitamin D, Ryan?
Absolutely. So vitamin D is a big one because most people tend to be deficient in it. And the reason why is because you can't get it in many foods. It's only in fortified milk, maybe a couple of fortified cereals. You have some fatty fish and egg yolks. That's about it. So unless you're eating all those foods in large quantities every day, you're probably not getting enough. And if you're like me, who lives north of Atlanta for the entire year, in the winter right now, I'm not getting any UVB rays. So I'm not getting my vitamin D from the sun at all. So for many people, I do recommend, if they are deficient in vitamin D, to take a vitamin D supplement. Now, the one that I personally like and that one that I use myself is from Orthomolecular. It's a vitamin D3 K2 liquid supplement. And the reason I love it, it's a liquid suspension. You just put it on your tongue, a couple of drops, and there's no fillers. It's just medium chain triglycerides. It's absorbed rapidly. No fillers.
And what's the K2, right?
It lasts quite a while. So K2, good question, Carol. Vitamin K2 is a form of vitamin K. People think of vitamin K for blood clotting. but that's K1. K2 actually helps with the arteries. It actually helps to get rid of calcium from the arteries to make them more pliable so that you're not prone to cardiovascular disease. So any buildup in your arteries, vitamin K2 can actually help over time remove. So I like that because it's a combination of D and K. And as we know, vitamin D and vitamin K work together. You can't get one without the other.
Okay.
Absorption-wise, that is.
Right. Well, absorption-wise, let's just say you take vitamin D and not vitamin K, then what happens in the body with vitamin K to absorb that vitamin D?
Well, that's a good question. let's just put it this way.
Yeah, just simple, just real simple. Like, you know, is vitamin K pulled out of the cell in order to make that vitamin D go into the, you know, what happens?
Well, they're both put into the cell. They're not pulled out. I know calcium can be pulled out if you don't get enough calcium in the body. Then the bone will actually release it into the bloodstream so that your levels are normal. But vitamin D and vitamin K aren't pulled out of anything. In fact, they're put into the cell. I guess that's the best way that I could answer it. And if I don't know if maybe you want to
give more
clarity. If you're not taking
vitamin K and you're only taking vitamin D and they have to work together, where do you get the vitamin K in order to absorb the vitamin?
Yes, absolutely. So vitamin K you're going to find in dark leafy green vegetables. Spinach, you're going to find it in lettuce. Anything that's dark leafy, dark green and leafy. Now, if you're taking vitamin D just by itself, you want to take it with a fatty meal, because vitamin D is fat soluble. So you only absorb it if you're eating it with fat. If you're taking it on an empty stomach, you won't absorb it no matter how much you take. You need to take it with food and fat. And if you also will have to take vitamin K, you know, in addition to that, then you could take the vitamin K at the same time because that's also fat soluble. Or you could eat it with dark leafy green vegetables.
Okay.
Bok choy, Swiss chard.
Okay. All right. So, and I'm looking at the board here. So we're running out of time. So I want to kind of get to everybody. And it's funny that you mentioned you not getting UV rays and things like that for the vitamin D, because I got a question here. It says, I live in Florida and I love being outside. I'd say I spend at least 20 minutes a day in the sun and on the weekends, and it could be hours. My boyfriend said I should be taking vitamin D to help with preventing the flu and other sicknesses, but I always argue I get enough naturally. I'm Italian, and I get fairly good coloring very easily. Should I be taking it, and what are the best brands to use? I think you just answered that in terms of brands, but I want to make a point. I'm reading this because I want to kind of add on to what you said. Statistically, we find that it's not necessarily contingent upon what area of the country you live in. If you look at the statistics on vitamin D and deficiency, none of us is getting enough sunlight to convert the vitamin D for the levels that we actually need. And if you go to the vitamindcouncil.org, you'll find out a bunch of information on vitamin D and the kinds of things that might be appropriate for you. Ryan, do you have anything to add to that one?
Yeah, the only thing that I would add to it is it sounds like she might be okay, but the only way to really know is to get tested. So without
Good
knowing
point.
What her level is, I don't want to say, yeah, take it just in case, because I don't want to give her a toxicity either, you know?
Yeah, good point. Thank you. Okay, so now we got a couple other blog questions, and like I said, we're not coming through on the phone lines much tonight. So let's see, we've got a few here. I want to make sure I get as many in. I'm going to read a couple of questions, and then we'll see how we can wrap it all in because we've got a few minutes left, okay?
Okay.
Okay, well, thank you all. First of all, I've got a group of people that are listening together, so thank you. Somebody has a thyroid problem, doctor says not enough vitamin D. There you go with the vitamin D again. Leg pains, what supplements? With leg pain, what supplements might she be missing? And then somebody else is saying in that same group, I have extreme osteoporosis. I'm only 56. Should I be taking?
These are all very specific.
similar to that. So I'm just going to use that because we've got a few minutes left and these are kind of lengthy and answers.
Okay. So I'll answer very generally the first one, the leg pain one. So people with pain, you know, leg pain, they could be deficient in any of the following, but again, this doesn't mean that this person has any of these specifically. They could have others as well. But magnesium is a big one because it blocks pain signals. Choline, carnitine, pretty much the B vitamins across the board, thiamine, riboflavin, B6, B12, vitamin D could be another one as well, because a deficiency could be a muscle or bone pain. So those are just a couple off the top of my head that somebody with leg pain could be deficient in, but they could be deficient in others as well.
Well, let me add to that, too, that if you're taking some medication, if you're taking cholesterol-lowering medications, you could be having some leg pain as attached to that, which might in turn be causing you to have some of these deficiencies or potential deficiencies that Ryan's talking about. So you need to be cognizant about the fact that maybe if you're taking something like that, that, you know, they all kind of – everything that you put into your body has an action or almost an equal and opposite reaction. So,
absolutely.
So, Ryan, anything else to add to the leg pain?
No, that's pretty much it. But, I mean, you did touch upon a point that if they are taking medications, the medication that they're taking could then point me in the direction of where they could be deficient. Because we all know, well, the healthcare practitioners, if you are taking a statin, as you mentioned, the cholesterol-lowering drug, that is notorious for depleting CoQ10. And that can manifest itself as muscle pain if you are deficient. So, again, knowing what kind of medications they're on without actually testing the person could kind of point us in the right direction.
Okay. Great. Thank you for that. How about the osteoporosis one? 56 with extreme osteoporosis. I'm assuming this is a female. So what would
okay,
you do, Ryan?
So for that one, I'm in the hot seat right now.
I'm like, you
so
first.
For that one. Yeah. So for that one, I'm thinking right off the top of my head, I'm thinking calcium, I'm thinking vitamin D, I'm thinking vitamin K, K2, I'm thinking zinc. We know that zinc and magnesium also work with bone building. I'm also thinking of weight-bearing exercises. People that don't do a lot of weight-bearing exercises tend to have more fragile bones than those that actually do lift weights. But off the top of my head, that's what I'm thinking. And
okay.
I'm thinking also it could be, and again, this is out of the realm of supplements, but undiagnosed celiac disease is also one of the reasons why someone could have osteoporosis.
Yep.
In the absence of not getting enough nutrients.
Yep. I concur with all of that. I mean, I don't even have anything to add to that because I think you touched on everything. But I think the bigger issue, based on what you just said, I mean, you just said a mouthful there in a very short period of time. You know, the undiagnosed celiac, it could be. There's a, remember what we said about functional nutrition and functional medicine. There's a root cause to everything that goes on. So my suggestion, Ryan's suggestion, I'm speaking for you now, Ryan, is that. Should see somebody, you should see a healthcare practitioner to get to the root cause of what might be causing. Your body's talking to you right now. Your body's saying, you have I've given you osteoporosis because I want you to pay attention to something. So we need to figure out what that is.
Yeah, the osteoporosis
on that
could
note,
just be a symptom.
Right. I'm going to do one more thing. Is there a super... is there one super supplement you recommend?
Oh, gosh, no, there isn't. Because it's so individualized, every person has different needs. There's not one supplement that every single person in the world should take. So the answer to that is no.
All right, great. Ryan, you've been great. Thank you so very much. Everybody, thank you. Thank you for putting up with the board tonight and the phone. I'm not sure what happened there, but you know, I'm getting a lot of things. These questions were that they had already pressed one. They didn't get in. So thank you for hanging with us tonight. Join us on the forum, and we'll see what we can do with maybe extending this. Our next show is going to be in 2 weeks from tonight, and we're going to kick off Autism Month. We have a fabulous show coming up with we're going to do Living with Autism, and we're talking to two very special people. They're unique in that they're both healthcare practitioners, but they each have their own personal stories as it relates to autism, and we're going to talk about what it's like to live with autism and get some pointers. So please join us. We've got fabulous shows coming up. Like I said, I mentioned the essential oil. I'm working on a show for medical marijuana. So we've got a bunch of great topics coming up. So stay with us. Let's hear you on the forum. Let's hear you on Facebook, because I'm always open to new ideas, and I'm open to having to get us going. And Ryan, thank you for everything tonight. You were fabulous, and we have to have you back. We have to continue this. We're gonna, if you guys talk to us on the forum and give us some more ideas on what you want with supplements, then Ryan and I can structure another show, and we'll be happy to do that. You want to give
absolutely
out your
thank you
one more time?
Yes, it's www.gutrxn.com.
Great. Thank you, Ryan.
Thank you so much, Carol. I appreciate it. I've had a blast, and your audience is fantastic.
Oh, thank you. We're really enjoying you, too. So I'm going to do this. I'm just really loving this intro music that I'm going to exit with, too. So good night, everybody. And on that note, I'm going to say hopefully this is going to work. And it's not going to work. See, nothing's working tonight. That's just the way it is. I'm going to say good night to everybody, and we'll do the intro music on the intro on the next show. Good night, everybody. Thank you so much. We'll see you on Facebook.